Pope Francis has rejected the request for resignation by the German Cardinal Marx. Is it a surprise? To be honest, I was a little surprised because I thought the presentation of the letter, which had been published in German, English, and Italian, was actually just a way of absorbing impact of something worse to come. For those of you that just joined the conversation and maybe don't know what's happened in the last couple of weeks, you can see this timeline right here on the right side of your screen. On May 21st, unbeknownst to the world, Cardinal Marx submitted his letter of resignation to Pope Francis. Then, last week, June 4th, the Archdiocese of Munich, which is where Cardinal Marx is, published the Cardinal's letter of resignation in German, English, and Italian. In other words, a major press release. I covered the whole thing in a video here on the Dr. Taylor Marshall podcast. Today, Pope Francis publishes his rejection of the resignation and asks Cardinal Marx to stay in his post as Cardinal and as Archbishop of Munich. So today we're going to cover that timeline. And I really want to take a step back and make this show a commentary on Vatican theater. This is Vatican theater. Cardinal Sarah, what happened when he gave his letter of resignation to Pope Francis? Thank you very much. I'll take that by Cardinal Sarah. Cardinal Marx, although he's younger, he's 67, he gives his resignation letter. No. You accepted responsibility for abuse, but we want to keep you on, Cardinal Marx. And this whole, now looking back on it, this whole June 4th release of a letter in German, English, and Italian was really a way for Cardinal Marx to save face, number one. Number two, for Pope Francis to look like a gentle grandfather. And number three, we'll talk about this maybe a little bit today, a distraction for the blessing of same-sex unions that went on for about 10 days in Germany with no comment from Rome. So, yeah, I gotta say I'm a little bit discouraged. Just on this point, not in life. Yesterday, Joe and I celebrated 20 years in the holy sacrament of matrimony. We have 8 beautiful children and 20 years together. Here's a picture of us on the Sea of Galilee. You can see all the children there. That's the Sea of Galilee where our Lord Jesus Christ fished and walked on water. You know, anytime you have a big watermark in your life, a big mile marker, like 20 years, you kind of stop and you think, what's going well in life? What's not going well? What are the things I need to change? Do I need to shift gears in this way? And, you know, one of the things that I thought about yesterday and today, you know, a big part of our 20 years together, join me, is we became Catholic. We became Catholic in 2006. So we just had our 15th anniversary of being Catholic this year. And I'll be honest, I'll be frank, what I thought the Catholic Church was 15 years ago is not what it is today. Now, I mean, when I say the Catholic Church, I'm referring to the human institution, not the mystical body of Christ. But when I think of the papacy, the cardinals, the bishops, the local parish structure, all of that, I'll admit, as someone who's been in it for 15 years, is a discouragement. It is a discouragement. And I see things like this today, shenanigans going on in Rome, the Pope rejecting this highly publicized letter of resignation. And I realize so much of this is theater. It's performance arts. And I think that, I mean, in a way, that reminds me that being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, being a Catholic is chiefly about worship, adoration, faith, hope, and charity towards Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He instituted this church on earth, but century after century, there's been a lot of problems down here. And I also thought, you know, do I enjoy making these videos and talking about these things? I don't think I do, especially like today's video. I don't enjoy making this one. I'd rather just, I don't know, do anything else besides make this video. But someone has to say it. There are other times that I enjoy doing videos and have a good time with it. But after 20 years of marriage and 15 years of being a Catholic, I actually did have the thought, is this something I'm going to do for another year, 5 years, 10 years? I don't know. It seems like we need to have some kind of piety if we're going to make it to, I'm speaking all off the cuff here, I didn't prepare to say any of this. Seems like to have some kind of piety that's Christocentric, Christotelic, and the drama and the theater, they go together. There's the drama, and then there's this fake theater going on in Rome. I don't know what the balance is to expose it and yet ignore it. I've only been Catholic 15 years, so I don't know. Maybe I'll have some advice. Leave a comment below or in the live chat. Okay, we're going to talk about this today. That was just a little bit of a personal reflection. And we'll pray the Our Father together, asking God the Father to bless us and send us the Holy Ghost as we cover these topics and give us our daily bread, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Eucharist. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, et veniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. All right, before we get started, please like the video and please share it on Facebook. Use that share button and subscribe. If you're new, make sure you're still subscribed and you've hit the little ringy-dingy bell. That'll notify you every time I go live. All right, let's get started. So this is just theater. It's I think the frustrating thing for lay people like you and me is we pay in with money. We pay in with time. We pay in with children into this machinery called Catholicism. And here's the mistake that we can make. And I don't want anyone watching to ever make this mistake. I paid in dues, therefore I should get disbursements. I paid God into this Catholic hedge fund or whatever you want to compare it to. And now God owes me. Now God owes me. That, my friends, is called Pelagianism. That you are building up by your own powers and your own nature, and you're making God a debtor to you. That's really bad theology, and it'll make you miserable. I heard a traditional priest once say that there are three kinds of Catholics. The first kind of, Catholics. The first is serving Christ, being a Catholic will cost too much, and so I'm not going to serve him. I will probably identify as a Catholic, but I'm not going to do anything. So these are your non-practicing Catholics, and they kind of think, well, maybe on my deathbed, a priest will come around and I'll make it in. All right, that's the first kind. The second kind is, I am going to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z for God, and that means he has to pay me back in the currency that I choose. All right, so this Catholic says, this is Catholic number two, B, be Catholic. I'm going to not have sex till I get married. I'm going to go to Mass every single Sunday. I'm going to pray my rosary every single day. I'm going to pursue a religious vocation. I'm going to be chaste. I'm going to do these hard things. But then, if I do these things, that means God's going to give me this many beautiful, healthy children, this kind of spouse, this kind of job, this kind of income. And I want all my children to be believers, and I don't want any hardship. I'm going to pay into the system, and I expect God to be careful and gentle with me, and I don't want any bumps along the road. Then the third kind of Catholic, Catholic number three, is the Catholic who comes to Christ, sees him on the cross, and says, ooh, okay, this is going to hurt. There's going to be pain. Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. This means there's crucifixion involved in this. And Catholic three says, it's going to hurt. I don't expect anything special from God. I'm a sinner. I'm going to totally abandon myself to him. And that's it. I'm not going to expect for any party favors along the way. And this traditional priest said to us sitting in the pews, most of you here who are attending church are number two Catholics. You think if you pay into the system, you're going to get paid back in the currency that you desire. And the problem with that is that's not how God works. And so if you approach God that way, you will be frustrated, you will be depressed, and he says many traditional Catholics leave the faith and leave Christ because they came being number two, saying, I'm going to come, I'm going to be a virgin till I get married, but I want this particular spouse with this particular trajectory for the next 70 years. And if God doesn't give that to me, well, forget him. I'm not playing the game anymore. Now, I think as you listen to Catholic 1, 2, and 3, A, B, and C, however you want to categorize them, probably can see yourself and at different stages of your life, or even maybe at the same time, elements of each. Ultimately, if you read the Gospels, Christ is calling us to be three, the third one. Total abandonment to divine providence, total abandonment to the goodness of God. For those of us who tarry in level two, these crises in the church, this theater that we're talking about today, right here, are particularly dangerous. Because we look and we say, well, I've been giving to Peter's Pence for 3 decades, and I've been supporting my bishop, and I've been giving money to the local seminary, and I was told that after this pastor retires at our parish, we'll get a more conservative one, but the new one is even worse. And you think about everything you've paid in, and then you watch this kabuki theater in Rome and in the local diocese, and you just want to throw your hands up and say, psh, I'm out. The Ed Bassmaster responds, psh, no more. It hurts too much. God, I paid in, and you're not paying out. This is a bum deal. I am out of here. What is the proper response? I think the proper response is to recognize and resist. And to also realize that the things going on in Rome, I mean, look, I have a platform, I have a YouTube channel, okay? It doesn't mean much though, right? If I make a show on the Pope rejecting Cardinal Marx's resignation, maybe somebody in the Vatican's gonna watch it. It's not really going to change the hearts and minds of people making decisions. They're not going to say, maybe we should revisit and not accept the resignation letter of Cardinal Sarah. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. However, I think we as Catholics, when we talk about these things, when we look at them, when we look at this timeline right here, we realize that trust not in princes, which is in the Psalms, applies not just to secular authorities, but even to people who are serving in the church, even sometimes popes, cardinals, bishops, and priests. The church herself in faith and morals is infallible, and she will never defect. But there are clowns, and there is theater, and there is drama up top. Maybe, I don't know if this is the answer, maybe the reason our Lord is allowing this to happen is so that Christians focus more on him. I don't know. I wish that the bishops and the hierarchy were focused on teaching sacred scripture, teaching the church fathers, teaching Thomas Aquinas, celebrating reverent liturgies, focused not on supporting the agenda of the UN and eco this and eco that, and taking photo ops with Muslims and every other religion under the sun. I wish that were the case, but they're not. And maybe, and I'll stop with this before I go in back to the Cardinal Marx. Maybe, as I thought about this, I said, this is the Abraham-Isaac moment. You know where God promised Abraham a child of promise born of Sarah, who was Isaac. And then he said, now take Isaac up on the hill and kill him as a sacrifice. Go and kill him. Abraham went and did it. He put him on the wood. Isaac, of course, is a type of Christ. He pulled up the knife to kill him, and the angel said, no, 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 Abraham, do not do it. Do not do it. And Abraham was justified by faith. There's at least three times where Abraham is justified by faith. This is one of them. Maybe it is the case to become a saint, to make it to heaven in 2021, is to simply keep walking when it looks like Isaac is on the altar. Just go. Of course, the ultimate example of this is Christ on the cross and Our Lady at the foot of the cross. How does this make any sense that this is the Son of God and yet he rises on the third day? Okay, now why did this happen in Rome? Now in retrospect 2020, clearly, there's a problem in Rome. I mean, there's a problem in Germany. The German bishops are promoting and allowing same-sex blessings. At the same time, especially in the Diocese of Cologne, there is more and more awareness that the bishops and the cardinals have covered up sexual abuse. So what do we do? What do we in Rome and what do we in Germany do? They create a drama. They create a theater. Here's how it's going to go, boys. Okay. The most prominent leader in Germany is Cardinal Marx. Let's have Cardinal Marx write a repentant letter. I'm personally responsible for a culture, not actual cases, but a culture of abuse in the German Catholic Church. And I beg the Holy Father to accept my resignation. All that's played out May 21st. Now, once they're ready, they have a decision, and they're going to go public on June 4th, before any decision is announced, they publish the penitent letter of Cardinal Marx in German, English, and Italian. They want everyone to talk about it, which we all did. Then, 6 days later, Pope Francis comes in gracious and says, now, Cardinal Marx, you're a good guy. You're a good guy. I'm not going to accept your resignation. Pope Francis said this publicly to Cardinal Marx, quote, "If you are tempted to think that by confirming your mission and not accepting your resignation, this Bishop of Rome, your brother who loves you, does not understand you, think of what Peter felt before the Lord when in his own way he presented him with his resignation. Depart from me, for I am a sinner." And listen to the answer, "Shepherd my sheep." So Pope Francis is comparing this to Peter when he says, "Depart from me," when he was first called, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And he's applying that to Cardinal Marx. And he's saying, no, I want you to shepherd the sheep. Now, Cardinal Marx had wrote, quote, "Without doubt, these are times of crisis for the church in Germany. There are, of course, many reasons for this situation." Cardinal Marx also says, "Also beyond Germany and the whole world, and I believe it is not necessary to state them in detail here," end quote. Actually, I wish Cardinal Marx had stated them in detail, because we need to know what's on the table and what we're talking about. Cardinal Marx also said, quote, "However, this crisis has also been caused by our own failure, by our own guilt. This has become clearer and clearer to me looking at the Catholic Church as a whole, not only today, but also in the past decades," end quote. Now, one of the reasons I became a Catholic, when I was a Protestant, we would repent of our sins before God, and it went something like this. "Almighty God, please forgive us of our manifold sins. Please forgive us for all the evil we have done. Please forgive us for violating your commandments. Have mercy on us, in Jesus' name, amen." That's how we repented. It's good, right? But when you're a Catholic, I learn that there is a more surgical, a more therapeutic, a more just way to confess sins, and that is to confess sins by name and kind. When you go into the confessional, you can't just say, "I just sinned a lot this week, have mercy on me," and then he says the absolution. No, 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 no. When you go into the confessional, you say, "I did this sin 3 times. I robbed a bank 2 times. I stole money 5 times from a Catholic church." You have to actually state what you did and how many times you did it. In other words, it gets laser specific. And I think as a Protestant, our conscience, and I guess this can happen with Catholics too, but as Protestants, I think our conscience got a little lazy because we were never forced to look in the mirror and see the ugliness, the pus, the open wounds, the infections of actual particular sins in our lives. Repenting of sins, generically, is actually pretty easy. Repenting of particular sins is very difficult. And when I read these remarks from Cardinal Marx, it's more of the Protestant way of repenting of sins. Mistakes were made. We're collectively guilty. Our own personal failure, our own guilt. There's a crisis in general in Germany and in the church. But let's not name the particular sins. Let's not actually look at the problem. See, if I went to a doctor and he said, "You have cancer," that wouldn't be enough, right? I want to know, where is the cancer? How big is the cancer? How was this cancer created in my body? What are the responses? What are the medications? Like, I want to get laser specific. Just kind of, "Yep, you got cancer. Oh, I got cancer." You're not going to get better until you figure out specific info about the kind and location and size of the cancer. This is all part of this theater in Rome. Yeah, there's cancer, but we don't want to tell you where the cancer is, how big the cancer is, and we really don't we're going to do some treatments, but we're not even going to be specific about the treatments. Pope Francis said, Cardinal Marx wrote that he would gladly continue to be a priest and bishop of this church, and that he would like to dedicate his next years, quote, in a more intense way to pastoral care and to commit myself to the spiritual renewal of the church. And this is my answer, dear brother, said Pope Francis. Continue as you propose, but as Archbishop of Munich and Freising. So basically nothing was done. And let's be honest, this entire conversation between Pope Francis, the resignation letter that was submitted, the publication of the resignation letter, and then the public response of open-heartedness of Pope Francis to Cardinal Marx, that could have all been done by a phone call, by a text, by a meeting. The whole thing was timed and publicized for a purpose. And what was the purpose? The purpose was theater. The purpose, in retrospect, the purpose was to show Pope Francis has deep pastoral care for the church in Germany. Cardinal Marx has deep pastoral care for the church in Germany, and they are committed on a path of accompaniment and dialogue to help heal and shepherd the sheep of Germany. And that's it. Let's not talk about what the sins and the problems are of the hierarchy. Let's not go back in time to all these abuse cases. Let's not go back 2 weeks where German priests in German Catholic churches were doing blessings of same-sex unions. All of that, it's like the Jedi trick. Obi-Wan Kenobi waves his hand. You're not looking for droids here. You're not looking for problems here in Germany. Theater. Theater, theater, theater. Well, we now know, if you thought, as perhaps I did, that maybe, just maybe, Pope Francis was going to flex back at the Germans, and there actually were going to be some heads rolling and some house cleaning in Germany, for all of us who rejoiced and suspected that a lot, maybe Pope Francis is actually going to do something that reforms the Catholic Church, and in particular, the wayward daughter of the German Church. If any of us thought that, we have now been corrected. We watched the movie, we watched the drama, the theater, and we've realized it's the same thing as it was 3 weeks ago. We all got played. We got played out. All right, let's pray. Before we pray, reminder, pray that rosary every single day. The great thing about rosary is it doesn't require your bishop's approval, doesn't require the Pope's approval. It's just you on your kneeler, sitting on the floor, sitting on a couch, with your beads in your hand, breathing, relaxed, maybe a nice icon or a statue, or crucifix. Maybe you'll light a little candle. You don't need any canonical approval. All you need is you and your mom, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you're talking about Jesus. It's wonderful. I don't understand why we wouldn't want to pray the rosary every day. It is perhaps the most peaceful, chill, edifying 20 minutes of my day. I mean, pray the rosary every day. You're not on the team, and you just need it. Pray the rosary. Also, someone said, you know, Marshall, you should, you know, you say pray the rosary every day. You say read the Bible every day, which you should. By the way, I'm giving away this beautiful family edition coffee table Dewey Rheims book for reading the Bible every single day. If you want to be in the drawing, go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. They say, you know, you talk about praying the rosary every day, reading a chapter of the Bible every day, going to traditional Latin Mass, traditional Eastern liturgy. You do all that. But what about going to confession? Yes, go to confession every, I would say, if you're really struggling with mortal sin, there's a deep-rooted cancer of a mortal sin every week, every 1 to 2 weeks. You need to do that. You got to stay on track. You need treatment. You need that chemotherapy, laser-targeted therapy. You got to get clean. If you're not in habitual mortal sin, I think every 2 to 4 weeks is a good, pious goal. For me, going more than a month is no bueno. I like to go every 2 to 4 weeks. And I think that's just a good pattern for me to have. A, you have to make an examination of conscience every evening. I like to kneel down on the side of my bed and just go through the 7 deadly sins and go through the day and then confess those to God. But then that kind of hard moment of staring myself in the mirror and seeing where I failed before my God, my King, that has to happen every 2 to 4 weeks, in my opinion. I'm just a lay guy above my garage with the webcam here talking to you. But I do think frequent confession is essential in our time. So many temptations, so many sins. We got to be saints. We got to get clean. So pray the rosary every day. Read the Bible every day. Get a traditional Latin Mass. Dads, pray with your kids. Bless your kids and your wife. Catechize your wife and your kids. And then also, let's get to frequent confession. Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, everyone, please like the video. Thumbs up. Please share it on Facebook. Please subscribe if you're new. If you want to support this channel and be in our drawing, go to and win this beautiful Bible. Go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. And we'll close in prayer. We'll pray the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary in Latin. And I'm going to suggest that we pray and ask Our Lady to go before our Lord Jesus Christ for the church in Germany. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Another great way to get focused on our Lord is the Sacred Heart Devotion, and tomorrow is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So if at all possible in this month of June, on this special feast day, get yourself to Mass on Friday, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.